Tickets, please have your tickets ready.
Children under 5 must wear a safety
helmet. And then children first.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Seasickness makes me so nauseous.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome aboard. Welcome back to the Dreamboat Podcast with your Captain Connor.
And Captain Scott.
And we are here once again to analyze your dreams.
That's right. We have some exciting news right out the gate. We now have a Twitter. So there are many routes through which you can send us your submissions, your dream inquiries, and your dreams that you would like analyzed.
You can always send us an email at dreamboatpodcast@gmail.com. And if you would, you know, give us a shout out on the Twitter, we'll throw your name and your handle up on the air, and that is at dreamboatcast.
That's right. At dreamboat.
That's right. At dreamboatcast. Thank you all for your support. Now we're on iTunes and Google Music and, you know, wherever podcasts, I was going to say are sold, but they're not really sold. Wherever podcasts are found, you probably find us there.
So, we're getting some submissions for the first time, which is very exciting for us. We get to ply our trade and, to the benefit of other people. And we have, a question from a listener.
But before we get into that, I have to issue a formal apology. Last week, episode 5, I made a goof, I made a boo-boo, and I need to apologize to Nordstrom. We did not mention you once at all, breaking our streak there. So I'm sorry, Nordstrom, fine retailer of goods. That is all.
So fine. Connor, I've got a submission, sort of a query / submission.
Indeed.
So this is a question from Francoise, and here it is. I had a dream about an annoying beep going on and people getting really mad at me and asking me to stop the noise. So I was trying to cut the beep by taking a weird machine apart, but it was not working at all. And people were getting angrier and angrier, and I smashed the device, and yet the beep was still loud and clear. And it did not make sense to me. And then someone said, "Turn your alarm off," and slowly, very slowly, I became aware that I was dreaming and waking up, and my alarm was blasting. And I realized that my husband had been asking me to turn off my alarm for some time. I don't know how long, but the dream made it seem to last for hours, and I know for sure it was probably a matter of seconds. So what... We talked about this.
We did. We talked about this
last time.
Yeah, last episode with your mosquito in the ear.
Yeah, when real life and dream world kind of cross over. And maybe we should check in with our resident expert, Dr. Emer.
Yeah, I think that's great. Maybe we can Skype him in.
Paging Dr. Emer?
Yeah, hold on. Let me get him up on Skype.
Okay. Hello there, Doctor.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for coming along on such short notice.
Absolutely. So. Happy to be here on the podcast.
Can you offer any insight into this crossover between sort of the waking brain and the influence it has on dreams, our senses sort of crossing over?
Absolutely. So you see, when we go to sleep at night, there are many levels to the sleep that we have. There's very different levels of deep sleep. There are 4 different levels, you see. You have your descending sleep. You have your dreamless sleep, which is also called stage 2. Stage 3, you have a deeper non-REM sleep. And then finally, ascending, coming back up towards waking consciousness is when you get your rapid eye movement, or otherwise known as your REM dreaming sleep.
Ah, I see. So... the dreamless sleep, basically we fall deeper and deeper into sort of like a non-conscious, unconscious state. And then the dreaming, would you say, makes us more conscious?
Yeah, Dr. Emer, can you explain, like, so you say that we go into a deeper sleep and then as we're
ascending, we have, yes, that is right. That is, once we coming back up towards the conscious waking levels, that is when we experience the rapid eye movement REM sleep.
Interesting. So we're kind of more awake than asleep while we are dreaming, would you say?
You are more affected by the external stimuli. Sorry, I forget where I come from. It's a very, very strange phenomenon here. Very strange.
This is an evolving accent. No,
yes,
it's
from
great.
All
very
over
dreamy.
The world I have studied and have many troubles remembering where I come from. So do not ask.
Well, thank you, Dr. Emer. Yeah. So I guess to put it into just super layman's terms, Connor, would you say that the act of dreaming sort of turns on the parts of your brain that are sort of the ones that are active when you're awake? More senses, more perception going on?
Yeah. Sorry, and I think Dr. Emers had to run. I heard him beep off a Skype there.
Thank you, Herr Doctor.
I'm sure we'll hear from him again sometime soon. But I've also been doing some reading myself. I'm reading this book called The Dimensions of Dreams. Subtitle, From Freud and Jung to Boss, Pearls, and REM. Oh, it says REM. I don't think they're talking about the band, though.
Oh, man.
A comprehensive source book. But looking at the brain waves of people who are sleeping, people who are awake, REM sleep, dreaming sleep is much more like being awake. So, you know, in a way, we are processing these things in a semi-consciousness. Where when in the deep, restful sleep, there isn't that same kind of conscious activity going on.
That's interesting.
Also that it is our way of dealing with things that have happened to us in our waking life, and also things that we anticipate happening later.
That's the cool part, yeah. I was reading a thing just on WebMD about dreams and dream facts and that sort of thing. And it talked about how it's like what we were talking about, I think, in one of the earlier episodes. It's like a simulation. You run through all these possibilities of what could go on in your next day. Your dream, you know, weaves these amazing, fanciful tales, but you're kind of ready for anything afterwards.
Right. Yeah. You were talking about it in a way of it being,
an evolutionary advantage,
right?
Was I think the context, but
And going back to Francois's query about time being altered, generally it says that in REM sleep, time being experienced, obviously, you know, you're talking a subjective way about people in a dream talking about how time has passed and them waking people up from dreams and talking to them about them, but time can speed up, you know, as much as 100-fold while you're in the REM sleep. So that's why those, you know, seconds can seem like hours.
That's the one thing that Inception got right, is that in a dream, there's no real time constraints. Time doesn't exist, really. So the way you perceive time in a dream is kind of all bonkers and all over the place, too. No?
No. I'm just thinking, I think that's exactly right. I think Inception would be another great film for us to do as a part of our Dreamboat podcast goes to the movies special.
Oh, that's
episode.
A good idea.
Because we've got Akira Kurosawa's Dreams, which I think would be a great one, and then also Inception.
Inception would be a fun one.
I think I have woken up from a dream and like thought I've woken up from the dream, but hadn't really woken up from the dream, if that makes sense. I think that,
yeah, I've had this.
I think it's happened to me, but it doesn't happen to me regularly. Well, Scott, did you have any interesting dreams?
I did. So I've been kind of living away from home this week. I got a new job, so I'm sort of living out of hotels during the week, which is thank you. It's sort of like a new place, you know, and it takes you a while to sort of acclimate to sleeping in a foreign area. And so my dreams have been all whacked out. And on top of that, I've been experimenting with cheese dreams. So I've been slamming a bunch of, I've got cheddars, I've got mozzarellas, and I'm just
slamming
cheese.
By the way, on the juicing front over here, that Apple J, I think it's called like Dandy Apple or something is the brand, but it's only fortified with vitamin C, and it's not from concentrate. But it's been, when I throughout the day have some bumps of Apple J. It seems like it does give me some pretty vivid dreams.
So can confirm for the Apple J and the cheese definitely does. Well, what, in my experience,
what kind of cheese? Has it been like brie or like some stinky Stilton?
I gotta bring my food out there, man. It's been like a block of cheddar and some string cheeses of different types. You know, I've got these like those mini cheese boards that they sell. It comes with everything, just you know, all kit and caboodle. Oh, but yeah, I've been cheesing it up, and I had a dream where I was okay. So it there's never a beginning to these dreams, and in my voice notes from when I woke up from it and tried to record it, I couldn't remember how it started, but I was like a cop, like a detective, and I was trying to bust this church group that was like really insidious,
like a true detective, more like a cult.
Yeah, they were like not really culty, but they were funneling money. They were doing some shady shit, and so like I worked for the IRS, and I was trying to catch them.
Oh,
you know that you kind of detective.
For the IRS?
No, I did. I'm just saying that was what it felt like. Like I was trying to get them on a technicality, like their books didn't add up or something, you know. And so I'm there in their church, and their church was weird. Like it looked like a normal church from the front, and then it was like it went straight into an underground cave once you walked in. And I was like, well, this is a little sketchy. Like that's a dead giveaway that you guys are a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
And the underground part was where all the pews were, and they had like skylights carved into this cave, and they were hanging. How do I explain this? So they had like two huge skylights, just holes drilled up through the ceiling to the sunlight. And in these holes, suspended with chains, were two trees. Like, they brought trees down into the cave just for fresh air or something, but they were just, like, hanging there, and there were bits of plaster falling off, and they were swinging, and I was like, that is dangerous.
Whoa.
It is not up to code. Your hanging trees have to be OSHA compliant. Like, this is not going to work.
But with the skylight, it wasn't, like, dark in there, or...?
The skylight was where they got the light in that room from, I guess, but it was also... I can't remember why, but it made sense as to why they would want two trees hanging above everybody in this church. And so... I went and I tried to find one of the priests, and when I found the priest, he was my manager, my current manager at the restaurant I work at was this, but he had a different haircut and he had different glasses.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, John, you work here? And he was like, yeah, for sure. And I was like, well, that tree there is super dangerous. And he was like, what? The hanging trees? And I'm like, yeah, there's like plaster falling off. I'm like, they're going to fall on your flock here one of these days. And he goes, no, they're fine. It's all fine. Don't worry about it. I was like, oh, fuck. I have to get a team together to fix this. And so I got a crack team of my brother and my dad. We were going to like look around for tools or try and find another way to get up to these trees to like tighten the chains or something. I don't know. But as we're looking around, we keep having people added to our group. Like I had a couple no-name people with me, my dad and my brother.
Your detective group?
My detective group, yeah.
Are you telling me that it's a family affair? You guys are like...
the family detectives. But every time I looked back, it's like that. Do you watch Rick and Morty at all?
I'm familiar with Rick and Morty.
Richard and Mortimer. Well, there's one great episode where they can't tell why, but there's more and more people, and they can't tell who's real, you know? And I was having one of those. I was like, shit, we got a bunch of moles in our group. There's just more and more moles the more we walk through this, like... These red shirts, these no names, just were attic piling up, and like I opened a door to a bathroom, and there was a little kid in there, and I was like, oh, I was just a little kid, don't worry. And we were going to move on, and I look back in, and there's like four dudes in there now, and I was like, where are you coming from? Like they're coming out of the walls, and I woke up shortly after that. Never did crack the case.
That's interesting.
That was my weird cheese dream.
Nothing is as it seems. It's okay. We'll put the Hartman family on the case.
It's a family business.
Yeah.
We take this. We've been in this for generations.
That's great. That's great. So there's a lot of, you got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Now, let's see here. Where do we start? Now, to dream of a detective.
Of trees suspended in the air by chains. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, it's by, like, yeah, I looked for a suspended tree, but we'll have to get to that. okay, this is pretty basic. I guess we could have reached this point on our own, but to dream of like a detective or being a detective means that there's something in your life that you need to uncover. a mystery you've been trying to work through. Now, let's take that to the next step, which are churches, right? One idea is that you're questioning your beliefs or searching for your spiritual path. Or you need to answer a life problem that's bothering you, or reflecting on your awareness of others being naive and how to solve your problems, or you know, symbolizing your religious faith. I don't know about all that, but
I don't know about all that.
Yeah. But I think that
the uncovering something that I'm unaware of bit is probably, I mean, that's what all of our analysis has kind of been pointed towards. Did you get anything for how would I describe the people adding up, like there's no easy way to Google that, but like, what about trickery or
so? You're a detective, right? Yeah. Trying to uncover, maybe we'll call it like your life's journey, right? Trying to suss out what you're doing.
And I'm not a religious person per se, but I'm like in this holy place trying to uncover something, and I end up being more worried about the safety and like the place itself. Like I kind of throw the case by the wayside and start looking for how to fix their decor.
Interesting. Well, and that wasn't in the church itself.
It was.
Oh, okay.
It was
this
big sprawling underground cave church. It was a weird.
Right. Well, to me, there's like the facade of the church, and then there's like the underbelly. Like it seems like you're going to uncover. You're going into investigate the church. Like you're gonna investigate your life's journey, but instead you're into this cave, which isn't what you thought it was or thought it has been.
And me and my dad and my brother are trying to uncover, well, or are trying to fix this,
which is interesting. And I just got this pop in my mind, so I'll just lay it out. But you know, thinking of your family, especially like your male family members, one that both of which, you know, share your blood, are like perhaps different versions or different iterations of you, perhaps. Unless you have, you know, some things with them you gotta suss out. But it sounds like you were working together pretty handily.
I have a really painting with broad strokes here. I just had a thought. So it could be sort of, I mean, I'm not having like a crisis of faith or anything. That's not where I'm going with this. But no one in my family has ever really been too religious, not in my immediate nuclear family. And maybe this is like my brain going, for generations, whenever you go and try and seek out the answers to those big questions, we're kind of better suited at fixing shit in the practical world. You know, it's kind of like that belongs. That's someone else's problem now, you know? I'm going to fix the chain trees. That's more dangerous right now and pressing.
Rather than, like, larger...
Why are we here,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Philosophical quandaries and...
Yeah, just kind of like I'm starting to take a more pragmatic approach.
Well, the dream is calling upon you to take some time on that. So here, dreaming of caves... we may be afraid, nervous, or anxious at this great dark unknown. This may reflect our own nervousness about exploring deep inside our own minds. If we have lived a life so far where we haven't talked about those, in quotation, deep kind of questions, like who am I, what is my purpose, then it can seem pretty scary to begin with.
I called it. So this is one of those big picture dreams, I think.
Well,
so what? Well,
I mean, hey, it could be. You mean you weren't eating any avocados, so...
No, slamming cheese kind of makes you do the big questions. It's just you can answer them however you want.
Yeah, but, yeah, so maybe... I mean, you've changed up quite a few things in your life. Again, this is easier, you know,
so
being able to
subconscious.
Being able to speak with you outside of the podcast and, you know, knowing that you're kind of trying out some different stuff.
My brain's going, all this new shit. Where do we stand on the old shit? Are we still good? Are we still
right? Is this new shit where it's at? Am I the same? Am I the same me looking at me?
In the
yeah.
A little bit of that.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, Connor? Have you had any worthwhile dreams you'd like to share?
I've had a couple interesting ones. Let's see. Okay, we'll start with this one. I was on a beach in Southeast Texas, and I was looking after some kids. I'm pretty sure, like, I have a niece and a nephew, but these kids seemed a little older. But it seemed like they were related to me, nieces, nephew, cousins, whatever. Younger kids, they're playing in the sand, and it's kind of like a beach house sort of thing. And then out of nowhere, we see these like very large armadillos come walking by. And they're like these big reddish brown armadillos, and there's probably like three or four of them. And like, we need to get the children inside. Like, armadillos are dangerous. They might have leprosy. Like, we don't know. So one of the armadillos comes up towards the house, and he transforms into this like skinny teenage vagrant boy, like wearing khaki cargo shorts and like without a shirt. Yeah.
The armadillo does.
The armadillo turns into like a little vagrant boy. Okay. A teen boy teen. Not quite a man. And he taunts me and, like, you know, is giving me some guff. And he steals something. I don't know if he steals my wallet or what. So I have to start chasing after him. And I'm chasing him, like, down towards the water and, like, dodging past, like, the pillars of the pier. And this time he's, you know, strictly boy, no more armadillo. And I'm like chasing him with a belt. Like, I'm not being a very nice guy here. Like, I really want my stuff back. And he's pretty quick, but not so fast that I know that I can't catch him. And he goes and, like, hides behind this concrete pillar of the pier. And I real quickly, like, round the corner and grab him by the arm. And then I wake up.
Whoa. You can't remember what he stole from you, though, right?
I want to say it was something. I think it was my wallet. Like, I don't think it was a phone. Don't think it was anything electronic, but I think it was my wallet.
So, to dream that you've been robbed represents feelings of being robbed of power, happiness, or independence. So it's like you're something precious to you has been taken away, perhaps in your real life recently too. Like, you feel a situation has ruined your spirits or mood, or wanting something you can't have also.
Interesting.
And you did not rob anyone, so that one's out the window.
I mean, I was chasing a teen with a belt. I don't feel great about that, but it's probably not the worst thing I've ever dreamed of.
That's the law of the jungle, man.
I just watched the Jungle Book last night.
The new one?
Very good, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, very, very good. Law of the Jungle. Law of the Jungle. I'm trying to find some Texas. Don't mess with it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a whole other country there. Everything's bigger.
You grew up there, yeah?
I have a lot of family there. I mean, I did do some growing up, but I never lived and never had a Texas zip code. But yeah, I've spent a good amount of time there. My dad lives there. My grandma lives there. My brother was there for a while. Everybody in my family was born in Texas except for me, including my mother.
Okay, wow. This is really great. To dream of Texas. Well, take a guess. What do you think dreaming of Texas would be the underlying metaphor there that your subconscious is trying to tell you?
Oh, man. That I need to, you know, just kind of like dig in my spurs and hold on for the ride?
No, kind of. Dreaming of Texas represents a free state of mind that thinks big. Oh. A mindset that's not willing to accept small ideas or restrictions.
Nice.
Wanting to use your freedom, you know, using your liberties to the fullest. So that's the kind of, I love that. So you're in this zone where you want to flex as hard as you can, and then some little.
I mean, I'm at the beach, so I really want to. I really want to flex as hard as I can.
But then some little shit disguised as the vermin of this place robs you, takes something from you. So you're dreaming really big.
Now let's take this one step further.
Okay.
Dreaming at the beach, where the beach is where the rational mind, the sand, and the emotional, the water, meet. It's a meeting of my rational and emotional mind in this.
Okay, so this is going to be one of those double meaning kind of dreams.
Okay.
Well, aren't they all? But you know what I mean? Like, maybe this one, there's a surface level one. And have you ever literally seen an armadillo turn into a human also? Like, is this some repressed memory that you're not?
Oh, man.
I think I've seen it a few times. I'm just asking.
I feel like that's something I wouldn't forget. But as far as I am aware, that hasn't happened to me in we'll call this the ordinary state of consciousness, the agreed upon ordinary state.
Did you look up armadillos, or should I?
So seeing an armadillo in a dream indicates you're dealing with issues of self-protection and self-preservation. Now, talking about being robbed and dealing with self-protection and self-preservation, I recently had to turn down a film role, you know, and it seemed it would be a lot of work, and it was kind of like a really cool role, and it just wasn't the right circumstances to do it, you know, between like the time commitment I was able to do, but it's something like that would have been like a super challenge. And I was kind of like really into that. So maybe I feel a little robbed in that way.
And I just missed opportunity,
but I also like was dealing with, you know, maybe a little bit of my ego. Yeah. Like I really wanted to do this. I really wanted to like have the huge role in this film. But at the same time, I was dealing with my self-protection and my self-preservation and like, you know, maybe this isn't going to be the best thing for me at this time.
That's the meeting of the rational and the emotional right there.
And like, yeah, deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, you got it all. Just dream big, big as you want. I love that. Come on, Texas dream.
Come on with them Texas dreams.
Come on down. Just have the biggest Texas dream you ever had.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hey, well, I think it's time for us to shift the plate a little bit. Is that a saying? I just made it up.
Now it is. Don't feed yourself avocados on it.
But yeah. Let's go into a user submitted dream.
Brought to you by Dillard's.
Excuse me? Whom?
Sorry, I meant Mervin's.
Oh, sorry, man. I meant Sears. R.I.P. Dude, if I could get all the time back that I spent in Mervin's as a kid, I probably really wasn't that much time. It's just like this is the Mervin's.
Mervin, you know, yeah. It just smells like khakis and sadness.
I didn't ever have a bad time at Mervin's. But anywho, so we are going to play our first audio submission here on the Dreamboat podcast.
That's right. This is exciting. If you guys have any, once again, you can submit it to Dreamboatcast, the at Dreamboatcast Twitter, or at dreamboatpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you have the longer submissions, probably Gmail is the way to go. But, you know, we'd always love a shout out. We'll give you that sweet, sweet follow back on Twitter. We want to know what our community is up to out there in the dream world. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and cue up this audio.
Okay, hello. My name is Masha, and I have a submission for the Dreamboat podcast. Now, this is a dream I actually had a couple of nights ago, and I was in a foreign city. I was traveling for work, and I woke up from this dream at 2 o'clock in the afternoon after having slept for 15 hours straight. So here's the dream as it lays out. So in my dream, I was the same person I am now, same job, same age, same life, etc. But I got a letter in the mail saying that I had to go back to high school because they had gone through my records and realized that I hadn't finished all of my courses. I hadn't gotten the credits I needed to graduate from high school, even though I've since graduated from college. My degree would be void if I didn't go back. So in the dream, I was opening the mail, called my boss. I told her that I needed to go back to high school. She said, okay, we can give you a two-week extension to go back to high school, finish up your classes, and then you can go back to work. So I'm at the school, and I'm at the high school that I went to, which is in downtown Phoenix. And somehow, even though I'm 28, everyone that I went to high school with all those kids as they were when they were 16, 17, 18, all the kids that were in my classes were all still enrolled. They were still in school. They were finishing up their senior year. So it was kind of like this time warp feeling where 10 years had gone by for me, but I had accomplished all of this in the meantime, but then I was back in school finishing up math class and Spanish class, which are two classes that I didn't historically do too well in. So in these classes, I'm late to arriving, so I'm panicked. I don't have my books. I don't have any backpack. I don't even have a pen. I just have my phone on me, and everyone recognizes me and you know, isn't even really particularly enthused that I'm back, despite the 10-year gap in my presence. So I'm going through class, and I'm talking to these people. I'm talking to the students, trying to figure out what I missed. You know, what's the next Spanish test on? Is it on conjugating verbs and what tenses, etc.? And we're in Spanish class. We suddenly moved over to Spanish class, and this boy that I had a crush on throughout all of high school is in the class. And this is true. He is a person that I was a really big fan of in my youth, and we never got around to dating. Nothing ever came out of it. I just always really liked the guy. And only in my dream did I realize that this guy I had a really big crush on in high school has a lot of strikingly similar qualities to my current husband. Not like I have a former husband. I only have had one husband, but to the husband I have in my dream and also in real life. So they have similar personality types. They have similar type of hair and similar kind of laugh. And so in this dream, I'm sitting next to this alternate version high school quasi husband guy, and he says, you know, it's been 10 years and we've gotten together, and I was kind of thinking about you now that you're back in class and we're all going to graduate together finally. It's been like the longest high school years of my life, and I just really, you know, want to see if you want to get coffee sometime. And so I turned him down, but in the dream I turned down someone that I recognized, and I even told him, you know, it's just a little late. I married someone that looks a lot like you, but I feel like he's a lot better. So essentially the whole dream ended at the end of the Spanish class, me traveling back in time 10 years to people that hadn't left school. And yeah, so I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are. Am I an elitist scumbag? Am I destined to relive high school over and over? And what do I make of this guy? Yeah, so I'd be curious, Scott and Connor. I look forward to any feedback you have. Thank you.
That was wonderful.
That was great. That was a great thank one. Thank you very much, Masha, for that.
Thank you, Masha. Okay, so
I'm just saying, just be careful sinning in your dreams while you're driving. I think I heard a little turn signalage there.
That's what that was. I was wondering, like, why would you bring a metronome with you to try and, like, recount your dream?
Yeah, you got to get the perfect syncopation there for your dreams. No, but I think this brings up a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, that was a great one. I particularly loved the end there with the bizarro husband. But we'll break it down. So let's do this step by step. So I've got dreaming of high school here, which I think we've done before.
Or in some ways, yeah, being back in school, essentially a passage from adolescence into adulthood.
What I love is this is just a bona fide Billy Madison situation. You got to finish your high school, you know, and then she gets sent back and didn't bring the pencils. It's all that, like, you're here with your pants are down. You didn't bring pants today. Like,
totally a had a Billy Madison
old
dream.
School. This is a classic dream right here. I love it. So dreaming of high school represents how you were being perceived by others. You know, it's like concerns about that. A lot of that sort of, you know, high school feel where everybody's judgy and you got your cliques and all that. And it says here that it points to insecurities or anxieties about how powerful or capable you feel as a person.
And what I think is great about that, tying in with the next part, is, you know, dreaming about this, the crush that you had, right? However many years back, and you kind of like coming to terms with it, being like, yeah, like that really concerned me a lot then, but I did just fine, and like actually ended up with someone way better than you.
Yeah, better version of what you are. Yeah, your dream tells you, well, you got a type. You definitely have a type, yeah, but
well, still, that's a pretty sick burn.
Yeah, it's a sick
burn. Yeah, but I think this is something having to do with like, you know, shedding, you know, worrying about what people thought about you or think about you, and you kind of just did your own thing, and you know,
in high school too. Kudos, like that's not easy.
Well, I mean, it took 10 years, but I kind of feel the same way sometimes.
So to dream of a former crush may represent feelings associated with desire, but in a positive context, you could be experiencing good luck or new opportunities. But the bit that I wanted to bring up here is to dream that someone attractive has a crush on you may represent feelings of worthiness and boosts to your self-esteem. So it's like you have all these new possibilities, you know, going on while it's still in the of a very judgy, difficult context, right? The high school that this is all framed in. I'm not sure how to synthesize that into one overarching thing. She is talking about being back from like 15 hours of sleep, you know, like it sounds pretty busy, pretty working hard. So a lot of this might be just like keeping up with the stresses of that kind of job, perhaps.
Yeah. I think to me, this is, you know, finally putting to rest any worries about being judged and like, you know, you've got what you've got now and stuff you used to worry about seems kind of silly. Like, I really like the way, you know, this crush had this like real sweet thing to say, but it was just kind of like, yeah, you know, this is cool. it is nice to see you again. It is nice to be back in class, but like, I can do better and I did. So
get it, girl. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what it seems like to me.
So overall prognosis, very good. Keep doing what you're doing, I guess.
Yeah, and you found yourself in a good place.
Yeah, thank you for that submission, Masha. I hope our analysis elucidated something for you there. Connor, you got any more dreams of yours that you'd like to share? Any crunchy ones?
Yeah. Let's do one more of mine. So yeah, as I said before, I have mostly been a lifeguard. That's how I've made most of my money, and it's been my trade. And so I had a dream about being in food service, which I have zero experience in, except for manning the Kiwanis Wave Pool concession stand once or twice. So I had a dream I was working at this cafe, and it's like my first day, and it's like right when training is beginning. And this girl is like showing me how stuff works and like the register and all that. And then right as that happens, they get delivery, you know, for stuff. And the guy comes in, he's like making this big fuss, like something's wrong, like he didn't get enough money or whatever. And so she just kind of like, oh, hey, oh, yo, I'll be right back. So she goes in the back and like they're having this big argument. And so I'm alone working at the cafe, having not been trained at all. This next guy kind of steps up to the register, and I make him a coffee because that's what he wanted, some like an Americano or something. And I just like, oh yeah, I totally know like exactly how this machine works. Give me a second. And so I fumble my way through it. And I guess I make him an acceptable coffee because he doesn't complain or anything. And then the next people come and they want food, and I go to they want a sandwich, and I go into it's almost like a pantry, but like a filing cabinet pantry, and I like pull it out, and there's just like a ton of chicken sandwiches in there, like fried chicken breast sandwiches, like so many chicken sandwiches in there, and that's it, like not just, and they weren't appetizing looking, they really didn't look too great, and just, you know, chicken and bun, like nothing fancy. And they were like
just chicken and bun.
Just chicken and bun, chicken sandwich. No fix. Not wrapped, like nothing. It was just like, and they weren't all neatly there. It was just like a slop of a bunch of plain like chicken patty sandwiches. It wasn't like chicken patty, like ground chicken patty, you know. I'd eat it on a bad day, but then they started getting so angry at me because I couldn't find what they wanted. And like, I didn't want to explain to them that I didn't know what I was doing and that all that we had were fried chicken breast sandwiches with just meat and bun. And yeah, I think it was like dealing with one of the ladies who's just having this fit over the chicken sandwich that I woke up.
I love that anytime you dream of food, it's always like there's never variety. It's just a whole table of avocados.
Right.
Or just a whole filing cabinet full of chicken sandwiches.
I think that has to mean like food for me is very symbolic of like what food means.
Also, just wanted to point out the idea of a filing cabinet pantry is actually $1 million idea. Like if you pulled that off in a tasteful Swedish assemble yourself kind of way. That could be.
I hear what you're throwing out. Nordstrom's has got it.
So to dream of it was a, what do you call it, a restaurant or a concession?
It was like a coffee shop.
Coffee shop. Okay. So my research says here that it may reflect feelings about expectations for certain types of experiences. Actually, this is kind of a bullshit site. I'm going to find a different one.
Yeah, you never know. See, seeing a sandwich in your dream suggests a lot of pressure and stress is being put on you. It also reflects your ability to do two things at once. However, sometimes a sandwich is just sandwich.
the most useless interpretation. Okay, so trying to do two things at once, right? And it's a stressful situation, and you've got, not only are you trying to do two things at once, you got a whole drawer full of
two things
trying to
at
do
once.
Two things at
yeah,
once.
A food that is both filling
chicken,
and bread, I mean, or
chicken
whatever.
And sandwich. But to dream of coffee represents situations in your life where you're getting acquainted with something.
Okay.
Or someone, or something new that you're getting to know.
Good, so I'm doing good at getting acquainted with things. I'm doing good at, like...
And you made the coffee, right? You pulled it off.
Yeah.
I
wasn't...
Throw it in your face.
I wasn't feeling real confident, but it worked out. It's the whole sandwich debacle.
Are you attempting anything new in your life that's been kind of a particular challenge? Or have you met someone recently who's been challenging? Is there any of that going on?
Yeah, I've been trying some new and different stuff. Actually, since we were talking about, you know, feeding yourself avocados, I decided to kind of kick it up a notch and try some different stuff. You know, doing aerial yoga, which is real, real wild and fun.
No shit, you're diving out of pools. You're literally diving out of
pools.
Yeah,
I'm trying that new stuff. I've been like, you know, trying different physical exercise regimens just to say, like, if not now, then when? You know, just diving out of pools left and right.
So your subconscious is going, all right, all this new shit. But you made the coffee. You're feeling comfortable with it.
I did that all right. Yeah.
Just the chicken sandwiches are really, maybe they're just chicken sandwiches, you know, sometimes they're just chicken sandwiches.
Sometimes a sandwich is just a sandwich. that's great. I like how we have yet another catchphrase and it has to do with food.
Dream idioms. Oh, weird, dude. That's a fun one. I don't think we can really delve too much into it, though, given that, well...
Well, I think, you know, getting thrown into new situations and, like, figuring stuff out on your own and pulling it off and, you know, just not serving up sandwiches very well. Yeah, I don't know what...
You know, this is the simulation it's running. It's you're getting ready for those stressful moments when... You know what I mean? Like the next time everyone's pissed at you and they want things that aren't chicken sandwiches, your dream here just prepped you for that. You're good to go. You ran the sim.
Yep.
You're walking out of the holodeck feeling stronger, more confident. Yeah, that's it's cool.
Just
you're getting
thinking about it, like it was not a pleasant situation, but it wasn't stressing me out. super hard, you know? Like, I wasn't like, oh God, like, I can't wait for the lady to come back and, like, take over these angry patrons. Like, it was just like, okay, like, try to figure this out. Okay, oh, yep, chicken sandwiches, that's it. Okay.
Good on you, man. You got a indication from your subconscious that you're ready for anything.
Indeed. Thank you, everybody, once again for listening to yet another iteration of the Dreamboat Podcast with your captains,
Scott and Connor.
Hey, that's us.
Let's redo that.
Yeah,
that's us.
No, keep that. That's all right. Once again, brought to you by Nordstrom. If you have a dream that you would like us to unpack for you, you can write it out to us, or like the crafty Masha did, go ahead and send us an audio file to dreamboatpodcast@gmail.com. And you can tweet at us at dreamboatcast. Otherwise, you can like find Scott on the street and just yell at him.
Yeah, just throw things at me. Tell me your dreams while I'm trying to buy chicken sandwiches at the corner deli.
Yeah, don't ask me for one because I won't know how that works. But yeah, thanks once again. If you can
keep the dream alive,
give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, that would be like super slick. Get us in the new and noteworthy section. But
oh hell yeah, yeah! Tell your friends, let everybody know. Thanks again. What's our dream reference we're gonna end on here?
We sleep perchance to dream.
Perchance.
That's some Shakespeare for you.
That's a good one. End on that one.
Yeah.